Okay, we resume our meeting to talk about classification and measurement.
Liz, will you take it out for first speaker?
Liz, the floor is yours.
Okay, good morning. Okay, so there's two papers for today's session on classification and measurement. I will walk through agenda paper 6A, which provides an update on the FASB's recent tentative decisions on C&M. And as you can probably see, Raul and Nick have graciously joined me here. Rihanna will present agenda paper 6B, which provides a due process summary for the ISB's limited amendments to the C&M requirements in IFRS 9. So if we can turn to agenda paper 6A, this paper provides a brief background of the ISB and the FASB's joint deliberations on C&M and an update on the tentative decisions that the FASB has made subsequent to those joint discussions. This paper is for informational purposes only, so there's not a question. As noted in more detail in the paper, the boards began to jointly deliberate selective aspects of their C&M models at the beginning of 2012, which led to each board publishing an exposure draft. While key aspects of the board's respective models were largely aligned, it's important to note that the ISB's ED proposed limited amendments to the existing C&M requirements in IFRS 9, whereas the FASB's ED proposed a comprehensive new model. After both comment periods ended, the boards discussed a plan for joint redeliberations. That plan reflected both the fact that the feedback received by the board differed in a number of ways, and also the fact that the boards had different starting points and thus had different scopes for their redeliberations. As discussed in the agenda paper, many of the FASB's stakeholders questioned whether a comprehensive new C&M model was needed or whether targeted improvements to current U.S. GAAP would be more appropriate. In contrast, the ISB stakeholders continue to support the C&M model in IFRS 9, including the proposed limited amendments. Accordingly, the project plan contemplated both joint and separate redeliberations. In September through November of last year, the boards discussed the contractual cash flow characteristics and business model assessments. While there were some differences in the board's decisions on particular details, most of the board's decisions were made jointly. However, the FASB indicated during those meetings that it would consider at a future meeting whether it would like to confirm the C&M model that the boards were jointly discussing or pursue a different model. Accordingly, subsequent to the board's joint discussions, the FASB continued to discuss the cash flow and business model assessments. At those separate meetings, the FASB tentatively decided that it would not continue to pursue the contractual cash flow characteristics assessment because it was concerned that it would be just as complex to apply as current U.S. GAAP and thus would not satisfy its cost-benefit considerations. Instead, the FASB tentatively decided to retain the bifurcation requirements in current U.S. GAAP. The FASB also asked its staff to perform additional analysis of whether another cash flow test is needed to classify items such as the host contract that remains after bifurcation, hybrid assets that do not require bifurcation, and particular other financial assets. The FASB also tentatively decided that it would not continue to pursue the business model assessment that the boards had been jointly discussing. Instead, the FASB asked its staff to perform additional analysis to consider whether the current models for loans and securities should be maintained or whether those two models should be aligned. At a future meeting, the FASB staff will bring the analysis that was requested, specifically whether another cash flow assessment should be developed for particular assets and whether targeted improvements should be made to U.S. GAAP for classifying and measuring loans and receivables. Does the board have any questions?
No. What is it that we can say? A lot of work has been done for nothing, it seems. Any other comments?
I would just observe that the same thing, Hans. I joined this board with a full expectation that there were great aspirations for global convergence in three or four major areas. And obviously, that has not come to fruition. It's a terrible disappointment, in my opinion, for global investors. And as you said, I'm not quite sure what more we can do. If the two boards continued to work the problem, maybe we would have had a converged solution. But you know, the FASB has decided not to to continue with the current IFRS 9 proposed work plan that we developed. And you know, unfortunately, that's the way it is. It's the way the, I guess, the cookie crumbles. But it's a terrible disappointment from my perspective. A lot of cost and a lot of additional resources will be expended by entities around the globe to comply with these two standards, two sets of standards, and it's completely unnecessary.
Well, anyway. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, B. Agenda paper 6B. This paper provides a due process summary for the limited amendments to the classification and measurement requirements in IFRS 9 and considers whether the board can proceed with the balloting process for these amendments. The paper sets out the background and objectives of the limited amendments project and considers the due process steps undertaken. It also discusses whether re-exposure is necessary and talks about balloting and assents. As set out in detail in the paper, we think the ISB has complied with all relevant due process steps. The board has undertaken all of the activities identified as required, and many of the additional non-mandatory activities set out in the due process handbook. This has included a significant amount of outreach and consultation with a broad range of interested parties from various jurisdictions. We think re-exposure is not necessary. That is because during redeliberations, the board did not make any significant or fundamental changes to what was proposed, but rather the board largely confirmed and clarified the proposals in response to the feedback received. Thus, we think the ISB has completed its redeliberations on the limited amendments ED and is ready to prepare the limited amendments for balloting. There are four questions. And please remember that we are asking the questions only in the context of the limited amendments. We are not asking you to vote again on the classification and measurement requirements that were issued in 2009 and 2010. So with that, the first question is whether the ISB agree with the staff conclusion that the due process requirements have been met.
Philippe? Yes, I think so. I would say if we had an indication in a very short term of where FASB is going, and clearly the conclusion of the previous paper doesn't give me a clear indication because it says that future meeting, FASB will bring, staff will bring analysis of whether it should develop a new approach. I have no idea what it could be. So if I had at this point a clear understanding of, I would say, let's pause one more moment and let's have a look. But because we are totally in the blue out there, I have no idea where they are going and when.
Philippe, it's very clear. At most, there will be minor targeted changes to the existing standard in the United States.
I see an opening here in this paper that they may consider another cash flow test. I have no idea what they mean. So this being said, because I have no indication of where that could go and when, I will say time is over. Let's vote. Let's finish this model as it is. And in terms of due process, I don't think I'm inclined to wait more because it could be forever.
So is that then unanimous?
Yes.
Unanimous.
With regards to re-exposure, does the ISB agree with the staff recommendation not to re-expose the limited amendments to IFRS 9?
Yes.
Yes.
Unanimous?
Yes.
Permission to ballot?
Yeah, so the third question. Is the ISB satisfied that it has undertaken sufficient consultation and analysis to be able to begin the balloting process for the limited amendments for IFRS 9?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Again, unanimous.
Do any of the ISB members propose to dissent from the publication of the limited amendments to IFRS 9?
Stephen. So there are some aspects to this document, obviously, that I support the clarifications to the cash flow characteristic test and the business model. the early availability of the own credit solution. But to my mind, the key thing with this document is the introduction of the third business model and fair value OCI. And you all know that I've long not supported that, both in this project and also the use of OCI and insurance. I've said it many times, I think it leads to more complexity. I think if fair value is the right measurement basis for the balance sheet, it should be used for the income statement as well. I think the business model notion is very weak. The idea that we have this separate business model that justifies this other method of accounting, I think even if those business models do exist, then the appropriate accounting is fair value P&L for those business models. Part of the reason we opened up this document was to achieve convergence. We're clearly not going to achieve that. Whilst I recognize that three categories is closer to the FASB in the sense that they will have three categories, if they've dropped the whole business model notion, then we're not going to have the same three categories. So I think the convergence aspect is not so persuasive anyway. I think we partly did this for insurance. As you know, I think it produces a bad answer for insurance. Now, I recognize that there are political dimensions here as well, and that to get insurance done, we might have to give something on OCI. So that kind of makes me waver a little bit, but I still think it's really bad accounting, and I think we should find other solutions to get insurance done. And last but not least, I think it leads to earnings management, because you can realize the assets to manage your earnings, and I think that's a really bad answer as well.
Jan?
Well, I'm exactly in the same corner. I think that I started the day not really knowing how to evaluate these things, because it's a one document with impairment, which I think we should do, and then we have this classification measurement, which is something I, like Steve, I dissented to the exposure draft for the same reason as mentioned by Steve. We started off this with some sort of a theme of reduced complexity, and we took some fighting for going with IFRS 9. And now I think we are bringing us back into 39. And I mentioned on the previous board meeting as well that I think we should have, now it's behind us, really considered if it wasn't just as good to keep what we had. So I'll say, if I had to decide today, I would dissent, but I will think this over while we go forward with the balloting. And I have the same argument as Steve has presented.
Okay. Any other?
I'm in a similar camp. When Steve said, though, that he was wavering a bit on insurance, it's the insurance one that tends to lead me to follow on this, so that I wouldn't be looking to dissent.
Would it be?
Would not.
Well, I can just add then, from my point of view, I thought about this, but as I understand now from the insurance development of that project, is that the model that we are proposing is not solving the insurance project. We will have to have another model to take care of the insurance. So we'll either have to change this standard or come with another solution for the insurance people.
Not necessarily. I think fair value OCI and CNM can still be helpful with the insurance project.
Mine is a question about process, not an intention to dissent. And it is... in part for those who are observing the meeting, to just explain, given that we have two pieces that we're talking about today, that we are we will be balloting and deciding separately on the two, so it is possible to vote for in support of the impairment. Okay, so it is as a package.
Package.
Sorry, if you could clarify the interaction of the two pieces, it would be helpful.
Yeah, we were going to clarify that at the end of the meeting, but we can do it now.
Okay, that's fine. It doesn't affect my decision, but I think it may be leading to some uncertainty.
But I think now that we are talking about it, the process going forward, we've taken these decisions separately on impairment and classification and measurement, and you voted on both pieces separately. But going forward, and for the balloting process, we will ballot these as one document. So we will ballot IFRS 9, including both of these. So all the ballots and the final approval of the ballots will be based on the complete document combining both of these. So you will just vote on one.
So, for example, Steve will be dissenting, but his reason for dissent, and Jan will be fair value OCI, but it wouldn't be a dissent to the entire new document.
And just to be clear, I am aware that it's going to be one document, so that was taken into account in what I said. I know some of you were surprised that I didn't dissent on impairment, and it was certainly a marginal decision for me. I very much disagree with the 12-month allowance, but I think in that case the other improvements are worthwhile. But overall, to this package, I still would vote against it, whether it's as two documents or whether it's one document.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, and all.
That's it for this week. Thank you.
Thank you.